So I got a big question for you. What are we going to celebrate today? I mean, we've been celebrating for about 2 months now, right? So we have to come up with something. So, I mean, do you know what we're celebrating today? I don't know. I'll celebrate that I'm alive. How about that? All right? Is that okay with you? All right. What are you going to celebrate? I mean, we're in the season of Pentecost, and I can tell you, I can celebrate the Spirit of God being alive and being with us, right? There's nothing like that. Being able to rely on God's Spirit with us. And you know that Puerto Ricans celebrate anything, so, you know, I'll celebrate that today. Now, we also would like to celebrate that God's promises are true. Amen? Not only that, but that God's promises are not promises in the air. God's promises are to us, right? To his people. And he has had a relationship with us. And he has fulfilled his promises all throughout history. And I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me. Because that gives me hope about tomorrow. So we continue the story of Abraham and the promise that God made to him, that he would be a father of a multitude of descendants. And we've seen how God has just been faithful in caring for this man whom he called from the land of Ur, right? Remember? And he said, come and I'll show you a place that it will be for you and for those who will be your descendants. And today we're faced the situation in this saga, right? Because we've been working through Genesis and working through Abraham's story. And we encounter the fact that Sarah has passed, right? That's the last thing that we're told in the passage today. But I think it's really important that we keep that in mind. Because now Abraham is looking for a wife for his son Isaac. And it makes me think, why is it that Sarah maybe not allowed Isaac to marry? Why is it that they had to wait until now? You never even consider that question? See, I'm thinking about that because it may give us some insight into what's going on in this family. Maybe Sarah was a bit overly motherly. You know what I mean? Right? Maybe she was looking around and saying, none of these girls are good enough for my boy. I don't know. You know, that's called midrash, you know, when you sort of come to a place where you think about what could be. Maybe it was Sarah that would not let him take a wife. And maybe he was a mama's boy. Right? Jewish mothers. Right? Maybe he was a mama's boy. Maybe he was just hanging back and just letting mom do everything for him. And of course, dad, you know, he was rich. He had everything. And even at this stage, when Abraham comes up with the idea of getting someone to be Isaac's partner, he's not part of the picture. I think it was part of the custom, part of the culture. But, you know, having that, that's just in the background, and we should really consider it. But the story here is really about this servant. And of course about Rebecca, but it is about this servant. So let's take the servants first. when we read that whole chapter, it shows that this man was told to go on an errand for Abraham, to take a wife for his son. Now, the servant prepares. He's been given this task, and he takes what is needed for the journey. When in this case, it has to do with transportation, right? He takes camels. And additionally, he takes gifts, right? As it is the custom that you would take something to give to this bride. And I guess it has to do with impressing her and her family, because the family has to make a decision in the blind, right? You follow me? They have to make a decision in the blind. They don't know about Isaac. They don't know if he's good looking or not. They don't know if he is young or old. They only know this representative and what this representative says about him and brings him. So he's preparing for the trip, and then he goes. But there is a sense that this is not only up to the servant. And I think the servant realizes it. And he thinks that this is a very serious voyage. So he goes. And in noting that the task is so immense, imagine someone telling you to find a wife for your son, right? I mean, that's serious. So he is probably taking all the precautions required, right? He's preparing, and he's also planning ahead. He's got a long way to think about it. And when he's approaching this village and he approaches the watering hole right there in Abraham's old country, he does something that is really interesting. He prays. Now, did you notice how he prays? He says, Lord of my, what? Master. Right? You remember that? We read it. This is there. I'm not making it up. He says, God of my master, Abraham. He's obviously concerned. He's obviously knowing that there's a serious matter. And verse 12 says that he asked God to show his steadfast love. You remember that word, right? Hesed. Steadfast love. Now the fact that that word, hesed, is there, it's important. Because that is the love that covers Abraham all throughout this history of relationship. Steadfast love. And this servant recognizes that. This servant is looking at all his experiences with his master, and he says, God, you have been good to him. You have been consistent with Abraham. You have been there through thick and thin. You have been with him. So he asked his master's God for a sign. In other words, God help me, right? God help me. I mean, this is way too much for me. So how about if I do this? The one that I offer water to, that I ask for water, and that she offers water to, and offers also to water the camels, that will be the one. How about that, right? And I think that he's bargaining, right? He's going through this process. Maybe that'll point out to who is the right woman for Isaac. I think, again, that this servant is interesting. If it was me, I would probably go to this village and go to the plaza there, you know, the meeting area, and ask for all the single women who wanted to marry, right? And I'll ask them, hey, I just want to know if you're available. And if you want to marry a special guy, hey, you know, let's talk, right? And you can tell from that I am definitely not a matchmaker. That's not my, I guess that's not my gift. But he doesn't do that. He takes the route of the special ask, right? He takes this route and he says, Lord, maybe if I ask a woman, a young woman, to bring water, maybe we'll find out something about her. And I think this shows that he's smart. This guy is no dummy, right? He's smart. He's thinking ahead. What kind of a person would be the right person for Isaac? He's not only looking for beauty, but he's looking for strength and for a servant's heart. And why do I say this? Do you know that one camel alone can drink from 20 to 40 gallons of water in one sitting? Now think about it, okay? Think about it, right? He is not alone. This is not one camel. He's got others with him. What does that mean? That's a bunch of water people, right? And it takes someone with a generous heart and with strength to say, I'll not only give you water, I'll give water to all those camels who are coming with you. She probably spent the whole day just bringing water from the spring. Maybe this is a test, right? Maybe this is the test that this servant has figured that he'll put in front of this woman to find out what she's made of. Remember last week? Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, right? You know, he's doing that. So he's clever. This is no coincidence. And he's not quite done with this prayer about his plan. And guess what? Rebecca comes out. And Rebecca comes out with a container, right? And she's going straight to the spring. And when she comes back with water, this man executes the plan. Would you give me some water? And the moment that he says that, guess what? Rebecca says, have at it. Right? But not only she says, have at it, but hey, how about those camels? Let me help you with that. No wonder he jumps and he puts a ring on her nose. Did you notice that, right?
Yes.
And not only that, but then she puts a bunch of bracelets in her arms. And it's like saying, girl, you got it, right? And you not only got it, but I gotta make a reservation here. I know that the process is not done. There's something more we need to do. But for the time being, I want you to know there's something coming. I tell you, this guy is smart. First, he prepares, right? Then he journeys and prays. And when God opens the door, guess what? He's there ready. And he continues with the plan. Now, what he does next is what really impresses me. He goes down to the ground on his face and he praises God. Did you see that? He praises God. He's not saying, oh, I'm so clever. He's not saying, oh man, this was a master plan. I got it down. No, he is down on his face and he is giving all the glory to God. Amen. So maybe we can gather this, right? He's preparing, he's praying, and he's working this plan out. But the moment that something starts happening, he is thanking God. Follow?
Yes.
Now, note, he's not thanking God because everything is done yet. Because as you know, he's still got more to do, right? So he goes to to Rebecca's family and he goes through the process. Because the deal is not closed yet. He's got to have a buy-in, right? And a release from the family. So he goes for the ask with the family, and this is his request after he tells everything that has gone through his mind and that he saw. He says, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, please tell me. See, that's the moment. That's the moment of truth. That's the moment where the servant is now at someone else's hands because he cannot make that decision. And I don't know if you can see here that there is a level of trust in this man's actions. He's saying, God, this is way too much for me. I do not know, but I do know some things, right? And I know that I'm going to need to be prepared for it. So let me take what I need, but now it's up to you. And when he says it's up to you, that means that anything goes. People, hello, right? Anything goes. So he's not off the hook yet. So he waits for the process to boil, right? And to cook. And he's watching for the signs of God's hands in this whole process. We would be wise to learn something from the servant, right? We would be wise to learn to prepare, right? So those things that we are tasked with in our lives require preparing. And they also require prayer. And they also require for us to wait. Now that's the hard part. Right? Because as far as I understand, ever since microwaves came to the industry in the United States of America and the whole world, we don't want to wait. Right?
Yeah.
Instead of putting that stove in low, we'd rather put the microwave in high and get it over with. Prepare, pray, wait, and watch for the signs. So that means that we also need to open our eyes and see what God is doing. We need to be in tune with this God. And on top of that, we need to be quick to praise God and to witness to others and tell others what has happened in our lives. Because you know very well that when things go our way, we rejoice, right? But we're not telling our neighbors. You should have seen what happened. Most of the time, we keep it to ourselves. Well, maybe that's only men. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not being sexist. It's just, you know, how this part of our bodies work. Okay? We're not that communicative. Who knows that about men, right? Who knows that? All right, okay. All right, good. Yeah, because I don't want you to get any ideas, okay? So, think about this. Generosity is the next thing. Be generous. Generosity marks both Rebecca and the servant. Right? He comes prepared with gifts. And the moment that he gets the signs and he says, this is the one, he's generous. And not only to her, but to his family, to her family. And of course, you already saw that Rebecca's heart is in it, right? She didn't have to think. She did not evaluate this man. She just knew that there was a need. And she went for it. And she was generous in her actions. It's not only a matter of, oh yeah, here's some water. Let's walk away. You know, she went the extra mile, right? So we can see that there is that mark on both of these people's lives. In all this scenario, we see God's hand at work. And I think this is the big point of it all. God does not forget his promises. He's not like us. God does not forget his promises to the people. He doesn't forget the promises to Abraham, right? He already saw in the last couple of weeks that there were two events that were close to death for the promise, right? Remember? I mean, near-death experiences for these two boys, Ishmael and Isaac. And it's like, ah, you know, everybody's like, ah, it could be, you could die. But no. And now we see how God comes through and not only provides for Abraham, but he provides for his descendants. And Isaac is checking this out. Because he says at the end that Isaac was comforted. Remember? So mama's boy, right, who had now lost all the care that comes with mom. And mom's wife said, wait a minute. God has provided for me. Maybe you see, all the way back from the beginning of Genesis, God is providing. And he's providing once and again. And he tells, hey, I'm here. And you're going to see my hand one way or another. But if you follow me, something's going to happen. I will be with you. If you follow my voice, I will be with you. And it may be scary. It may not look as such, but just stick, right? Just stick with it. Now, remember that word, hesed, that I mentioned? I've mentioned that word before. You remember that, right? Steadfast love. You see, you know how that is shown to us? Because this is not only a story about Abraham, about the servant, about Rebekah, but even about all that family and Isaac and all these. This is a story about you. Because just as God provided for Isaac, God has provided for you and for me. You remember that guy, Jesus? Hello? Right? You remember him? Talk about hesed, right? Talking about God providing a steadfast love for us. He's still doing it. And he's still working with us so that we can see that our wait is not in vain. That when we wait in the Lord, he will come through. The ultimate show of love. So the only thing that is left is for us to learn to walk in that love. It's for us to be steadfast ourselves. Right?
Amen.
For us to be faithful to the one that has given us life. And life abundant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I did not take an hour to share this sermon. Thank you because you have shown us in very, very important ways, in very noticeable ways, how you love us. And it doesn't take that long for us to see it. Now, there may be some things that are happening in our hearts. There may be some doubt in each one of us as we may be struggling with the reality of your promises. And I pray, God, that at this point, you may come to our rescue. That you may provide in us that strength that we need just to pour the water and see the rest of your will be done in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.